The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at @RealTheUnderdog.
And welcome to another episode of the Functional Sportsaholic. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us streaming on YouTube sometimes, not this week, and I'll tell you why in a bit, at youtube.com/TheUnderdog. You're listening as usual to Sean and Sam. Sam, how you doing, my friend?
What is up, buddy? I'm not as good as you, but, it's not too bad for a Thursday.
Yeah, so let me tell you. So I apologize to everybody for the poor sound quality, or at least not usually maybe up to snuff sound quality that we usually have and all that. But I'm traveling. I'm in a hotel room in Utah, in Salt Lake City. The Utah Jazz asked me to come out and interview for their general manager. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just here for a family wedding. But I packed, Sam. I'm a little pissed because I packed two suitcases. One which was full of audio and recording equipment. And I brought everything except for the docking station that my microphone and my camera plug into. So I got nothing other than I'm using, you know, I run this thing off an Apple laptop. Usually I have a really nice setup, and I got none of that this week. Of course, I forget this little mini Apple docking station. You know, if I cared that much, I guess I could buy a second one because I need one anyway probably, but I didn't. So this is how we're doing the show.
So the show goes on.
The show goes on, and I think for the first time in the history of our show, your sound quality is vastly superior to my sound quality, Sam. Vastly superior. Actually, you know what? So when we first started the podcast, we were having all kinds of issues. I remember you used to run. You might even still run off of the headphone and the lavalier mic that plugs into the headphone to your phone. And we would always get popping and static, and then I was running off like a blue snowball or something like that, or something like it anyway. And I, you know, you get like when you say the P word, you know, any P words, it's like pop, pop. And it might be like this now. I apologize again if it is, because I don't have the pop filter here. But we really cleaned that up over the last few months, and now we're going back to square two, not square one, but we're at square two. But you know, again, so it goes. But let's see. What are we going to talk about today? I have a bunch of stuff. This is going to be like the true hodgepodge episode. I want to get into some NCAA basketball and just get you, Sam, to just basically we're going to start with our NCAA content today. Just talk high level, right? I want to talk a little bit about NBA, and then I have a rapid fire NFL story, you know, segment here that, you know, you never know with us. I mean, we get sidetracked, but I don't think that's going to take any more than like 5 to 10 minutes, but who the hell knows? It could take our whole show. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But you got anything cool going on this week, man?
This week, no, man, just grinding.
Yeah, normal, just surviving.
Normal week. Yeah. No, last night I stayed up and watched on Netflix. They have a thing called the Bill Murray Stories. It's like a documentary about all the random stuff he does.
Oh my gosh. That sounds excellent.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, the stories are good. The documentary sucks. The guy's a blowhard.
Yeah, okay.
like if they would have just shared the stories, but it's like him like trying to like connect with them and all this, and I don't know, for a doc I don't think it's shot very well.
No, the right format
it, but it didn't
the right format yeah. For that show would be Bill Murray telling stories with one of those like animators behind it to turn it into a cartoon. That's the right format for that show. This isn't like a connection documentary with Bill Murray. He's a complicated dude, but he's mostly funny, and not every episode has to be funny, and they're probably not, but yeah, that's not the right format for that show.
No, I mean, and literally, like, I mean, there's like pictures and videos and stuff of him places. Like, they could have just like set it up, but I don't know. It's just done kind of corny. And then at the end, he meets him, and it's just kind of like a letdown, because like he's been trying to get a hold of him all this time, and then like he sees him at a baseball game, and he just like asks for a picture, like a selfie.
Weird.
And then lets him go. I'm like, all right, man. Like,
weird.
But I love Bill Murray, you know, obviously. So like some of the stuff was, you know, it was really funny, and you know how he doesn't have an agent and all that stuff, and he just has a 1-800 number and he just randomly checks, you know, the voicemail on the 1-800 number. You know? So, and he just shows up at like all these random places, and he like just showed up and like he was cleaning like at a college party and just started doing the dishes in some random person's kitchen, and they came in and they're like, dude, Bill Murray's just doing the dishes and you know,
just goober.
You know, just a bunch of random stories like that.
Yeah, very good. Well, let's get into some NFL. A segment that I know is going to hit near and dear to your heart. Antonio Brown has now on Twitter apologized to Big Ben and said that he never knew he had it so good. Can you believe it, Sam? He has come around full circle. Can you believe it?
No, well, a nut job. Like we said before, like if Drew Rowe ditching you, you're at the bottom of the barrel. So I'm not surprised. And if he doesn't get a response, I could see him going back the other way and be like, well, you know what, man, screw you. You know, like he's just, you know, I think there's something more there. We've been saying it for, it feels like, over, you know, 2 years there's something chemically going on with him. And, you know, I want to see him get his stuff together, but I don't think he'll, I would love to say, I don't think he'll play in the NFL again, but who knows, this NFL.
Well, I mean, certainly this tour of contrition is the immediate first step to regaining his NFL career. And like you said, Drew, you might've broken up on our side for our listeners out there, but you were saying, you know, Antonio Brown's crazy. And when Drew Rosenhaus drops you, you've reached a whole, when Drew Rosenhaus has had enough, you've reached an extreme level of insane. And I've been saying, and we've been talking about this for a while. I say, he's exhibiting symptoms, and I'm not a doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, or anything, but he reminds me a lot of what Brandon Marshall was going through, who actually went to our high school, by the way. Little plug there for Lake Howell, I guess. But he also went to my alma mater, UCF. Little plug for my alma mater, UCF. Brandon Marshall, like, was, you know, domestic stuff. He was angry. You know, he had, like, these things. And then later in his career, you know, he was fairly peaceful at the end of his career, and he found out that he had multiple personality disorder, and he, you know, he was getting help for it, and so that helps. And then some of it too is like the way he flip-flops so quickly. They're like bipolar types of things. And you and I talk about mental health from time to time on this show. I mean, it's certainly nothing to make fun of or trifle with, and we've never really have. But, you know, regardless, he is kind of a doofus, and he needs to get some help. So, you know, I'm not let me say it this way, like, he's got something going on. I think everybody understands that he's got something going on, whether it's multiple personality disorder, whether he's just a jerk, or whether he's, you know, got bipolar, or he's bipolar or something. He's got to get that taken care of. He's got to get it handled. The other thing I was kind of surprised by is Ben Roethlisberger had not blocked him yet on Twitter, where he blocked the rest of the freaking world. But he has not blocked Antonio Brown. But I guess that makes sense because he's got a handler handling his account. He's probably like, listen, I don't need this press about me blocking Antonio Brown. You don't block him, you know. But
Right.
My brother.
That's exactly what that is.
My brother has been blocked by Antonio Brown. He's never even mentioned him. By Ben Roethlisberger. My brother's been blocked. Me, on the other hand, I'm not blocked by Ben Roethlisberger, which is interesting because, you know, I'm not the nicest guy in the world, and I talk about Ben Roethlisberger, so I'm kind of shocked.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a turd too, but you know, it is what it is.
At this point, now,
yeah, he didn't want to add more to the story and be like, "Hey, listen, like, I'm gonna block this guy." You know, just very. It's all weird, man.
Yeah,
it's, you know, well, Antonio Brown. I don't see it ending well for him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe there's hope, and maybe he can get with the right people.
I could see him landing.
Someone needs to take his Twitter away. Like,
yeah.
do your stuff, you know, on the low, you know, because nobody's going to come out and give him any kind of guaranteed anything. Even if, you know, he stays silent for a little bit, it'll be a show me deal.
Right.
You know, so, you know, supposedly he went up to Bill Belichick at, well, he said that he went up to Bill Belichick during the Super Bowl and said, "Give me my $9 million." I would have loved to have video of that.
Give me my 9 million.
Yeah.
Isn't that more of a Bob Kraft issue though? Like, I truly, I don't know. I don't think that the general manager is actually handling the relinquishing of the funds. Although, then again, Bruce Allen was kind of in charge and made the decision not to pay Trent Williams after the team gave him cancer. I guess they didn't give him cancer, but they didn't diagnose it for years.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing because now that they've finally cleaned house and they did get rid of the training staff, Trent Williams might actually come back to Washington because that was his main stipulation. Was that the training staff had to get fired. And Bruce Allen's gone, the biggest turd in professional sports, I think, other than maybe the Houston Astros management. But, that'll be interesting. I wouldn't be shocked if they get him. But at the very least, I hope they trade him because, you know, just sitting on top of a player in his prime, an all-pro future Hall of Fame-type caliber talent, toiling away on a bad team already – you know, what's the point? You know, this stupid ego. Right. That's how that organization is, though. It's all ego and pride. And I can't give all of the blame to Dan Snyder, even though he is the primary, because he's the one in control of that environment. If he was a good owner, you know, he wouldn't stand for the GM, you know, politicking and, you know, constantly giving the team, handing the keys over to a guy that can't draft. But enough Redskins tangent. I don't want to talk about that. It's just going to make me sad. It's just going to make me sad. AB. Yeah, back to him. We said it when it happened, and I said this is leaving Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger and a stable organization where you're putting up again like that. Not even Hall of Fame numbers. You're putting up all time. I could possibly catch Jerry Rice in some of these statistical categories numbers. Leaving him, it's the same thing we saw with Beckham. You know, Beckham, you know, he's the guy that makes the offense go. He goes to another team and he gets out caught by Jarvis Landry, out targeted, got less receptions, less touchdowns than Jarvis Landry this year. The grass is not always greener. And when you have a quarterback and Eli Manning, okay, I mean, and you know, they're moving over to Daniel Jones. So I'll give Odell Beckham a little bit more credit here, but you got Ben Roethlisberger for another three or four years in your career. That's probably another 400 receptions. That's probably another, I don't know, five to 6,000 yards. It's another 30-ish touchdowns. I mean, come on, man. Like, then you go, what, to Derek Carr in Oakland? And then, yeah, then you get back over to Tom Brady, but, you know, you're constant crap in the press. It's what happened. It's what ended Terrell Owens' career probably 3 or 4 years before it should have been ended, is the off-the-field stuff. It's cute when you're 27 or 28, but when you're on that wrong side of 30, the juice ain't worth the squeeze anymore. So Antonio Brown, I think he'd love to go back to Pittsburgh, but that's not going to happen. I think they're glad to be rid of him. And the receivers – don't pay attention to this year's numbers. Your receivers are good. They just had crap throwing to him. So when Roethlisberger comes back, this team could go 13-3 next year, man, with that defense and Roethlisberger throwing the ball. This is a serious team, and it wouldn't shock me if they win the division over a Baltimore next year. So, and then Le'Veon Bell's the other one. You hold out for a year. You walk away from 14 mil that you're never going to get back. You hold out for an entire season, so the team still owns you, right? The team owns you at this point. So, like, you don't even come back in week 9 and play out your contractual year. You leave 14 mil on the table, and you didn't even do anything for the situation. So then he goes to New York for, you know, and signs for this big money, which, by the way, is going to be less than he would have had if he just played out his freaking contract. Less money in an offense that doesn't suit him, just stupid. You know, some of these players – their ego is just so high, and I guess it's because they've been stars their whole lives, but it's just nuts, man. It's just nuts. It's like Sammy Watkins, okay, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously the second best receiver, maybe not even the second best. He could even be third or fourth. And if you include Kelsey, he's definitely third. He's a super high paid receiver. He's going to have to take a pay cut or get released. Okay, Sammy Watkins, are you going to leave Patrick Mahomes in that Kansas City Chiefs offense to go to, I don't know, Buffalo? Well, I guess he wouldn't go to Buffalo. He was drafted by there. But let me name another team. Not Tampa Bay. Carolina. You going to leave them to go to Carolina and never compete again and not have Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball? That's a good move? Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Take the pay cut. Take your medicine. You know, if you take the pay cut, you earn more often than not. You earn more over the course of your career if you just take the stinking pay cut. And then instead of going out to free agency.
If you're on a winning team, man, your endorsements and stuff go up, you know, like sometimes you can offset some of this stuff, you know, it's, It's crazy.
It's like Kirk Cousins, man. Like there were the Kirk Cousins Redskins, back to the Redskins, Kirk Cousins Redskins contract situation. He just kept saying, no, yeah, screw you. I'm just going to play this 1 year deal because I'm going to make a lot more money.
Right.
And he did. I mean, he maximized his earnings. But, you know, then of course, Bruce Allen played. I got to stop talking about this. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Let's just move on. Next subject I have NFL wise, Myles Garrett was reinstated. Myles Garrett, the helmet hitter. Reinstated. I'm surprised he was reinstated this quick, man.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it was a lot to do about something little.
What?
I mean, you can't use your helmet, man, as a weapon, but you know, that Biff looking quarterback, I wouldn't mind, you know. If it was me, I'd probably use a helmet too. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm not opposed to him being reinstated. I'm just surprised that they did it so early in the offseason. Like I would have thought they would have made the Browns eke it out into, you know, I don't know.
He doesn't have a bad history, man. He's, you know, seems like a good guy, does a lot of charitable work, does a lot of stuff like that. Like, I don't think he seems like a bad guy. It's not like he's a repeat offender. You know, if he does something else now, he's marked. But
yeah,
you know, true. I feel like, you know,
if he takes his hockey skate off and tries to cut somebody with it.
Right.
Yeah. Another one is Jameis Winston undergoes LASIK eye. I'm reading this from ESPN. Jameis Winston, verbatim. Jameis Winston undergoes LASIK eye surgery for nearsightedness. Maybe that's the reason he's thrown for about 3,000 interceptions over the last 2 years. Thought that was funny. I like how that hits the press. Is Jameis Winston Jameis Winston goes in for minor eye procedure and it hits the national news wire. Okay, yeah, that's why he threw. And to me, it's like his PR people. The 30 interceptions. Oh, yeah. He's nearsighted.
Yeah.
And by the way, that GM, man, he's really going down with the ship with Jameis Winston because.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Look, man, like I said, and we were talking about this, the Bruce Arians system, you could call it the Leftwich system, but it's Bruce Arians' system. That is basically the one system that's going to work for Jameis Winston. And he put up ridiculous numbers offensively, but you get what you get with Jameis Winston in 30 interceptions, which is nuts. I think the next highest might have been Phillip Rivers at about 23-ish. And then there were a couple like Baker and a couple other people had about 21. And I'm going off memory here, so I could be a little off on those numbers. Uh-huh. But I mean, Jameis is what he is, right? We said this last year with Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota is what he is. Marcus Mariota doesn't turn over the ball, but he doesn't get touchdowns. Jameis Winston turns the ball over and he gets touchdowns. You don't know if you're getting 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. You don't know if you're getting 1 interception and 5. I'm sorry, 1 touchdown and 5 interceptions. It's you don't know what you're going to get with him. And at quarterback, I'm sorry, you can't play the penny stock game at quarterback. High risk, high reward. It's not going to win you a Super Bowl. You might be able to get to the playoffs. You might be able to get to the number one seed of the playoffs, but you always have that 5 interception capability. I move on from him. Just like Mariota, you know, 2 different quarterbacks, 2 different styles of play. I move on from both of them. And look what happened with Tennessee when they did. They made that run, and they're freaking good. And if they can re-sign Henry and Tannehill going into the 2020 NFL season, then I think they're going to win the division, man. I think they're a really good team. They're a really good team. And I think Tampa's a really good team. They just have a quarterback who turns the ball over too much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he got LASIK, man, so he's going to be all
good. Yeah, I mean, he's not nearsighted anymore. So obviously he's going to throw for those 30 interceptions. You just turn those into touchdowns. Turn those babies into touchdowns. Yep. He's going to be the first quarterback to throw for 60 touchdowns. He's going to have 0 interceptions. It's going to be great.
Yep.
He's going to be great. Yep. GM, he's going to be extended. Nobody's going to remember how he traded the 3rd and 4th round pick to move up to the 2nd round to draft a kicker. Idiot. That guy is the dumbest GM, followed very closely by the Chicago Bears GM. Stephen Pace.
My guy.
Yeah. Let's talk NCAA, man. So I'm going to read off, as of now, as of the time of this recording, I'm going to read off the top 10. Okay. And you know, let me know what you think of the top 10. You know, who.
Couple of surprises in the top 10.
Yeah. I'm looking through. I haven't checked into the NCAA in a couple of weeks. So I am seeing some interesting names. Yeah, I'm going to go from 10 to 1. Okay, number 10, Seton Hall. Number 9, Maryland, which for me, you know, I rooted for Maryland basketball for a long time. It's nice to see them back and relevant. Number 8, FSU, which is an interesting non-historical college in there, but that's not the least of those names here. Number 7 is Duke. Number 6 is Dayton. Number 5 is Louisville. Number 4, San Diego State. Number 3, Kansas. Number 2, Zaga. And number 1, Baylor at 21-1. So, yeah, some interesting names on here. Like, yeah, I mean, you're the basketball guy, right? And I just kind of check in. I'm a fair weather basketball fan. But I'm looking here and I see.
Some of those will change. Louisville lost last night to Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. It's not a good Georgia Tech team. So they'll drop. FSU lost to Duke. They might fall out of the top 10, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Seton Hall's a surprise. I have not seen them play this year. Mm. San Diego State is solid. I believe they're undefeated.
They are.
Right now.
They are.
And, you know, Baylor and Zaga have been kind of the 1-2 punch pretty much the whole year. They haven't really fluctuated.
So what's going on with Baylor, man? Because I don't know a lot about the team. What do you see high level?
Well, the good coach team. I mean, Scott Drew's a good coach team. I don't know much about them because I have not watched them play. The only teams I have seen play this year, like, you know, consistently, is obviously Duke, Kansas. Which Kansas surprises me. They're still in the top 10, but you know, they're kind of in a weak division and they're cleaning up. Gonzaga, they're solid. Bunch of shooters on that team. Yeah, I'm glad Michigan State's out of the top 25.
Here's the interesting
top 10.
Here's the interesting one. Okay, so I'm reading the College Basketball Power Index, right? The BPI. And again, I'll go from 10 to 1. West Virginia's 10. Number 9 is Arizona. Number 8 is Dayton. Number 7, Louisville. Number 6, San Diego State. Number 5, Baylor. Number 4, Michigan State at 17-8 is at number 4. Number 3 is Kansas. Number 2 is Gonzaga. Number 1 is your Dukies. Are your Dukies? Is your Dukies? Number 1 is Duke. I believe the correct grammar would be are your Dukies, plural, or is Duke the institution. But there you go. Here's your little grammar lesson.
Yeah, I mean, and this year it's so wide open because, you know, teams have come and gone, you mm-hmm. know. Gonzaga's always good, dude. They're always good.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
You know, they're not really a sleeper team anymore. For the past 20 years, they've been in the mix.
Yeah.
They've never won. You know, so Gonzaga is always a great story. I'll fully believe it when I see them win a championship or at least be in the top two. They're usually an Elite Eight.
And then maybe they bounce. They don't often make the Final Four.
Yeah. And they're always, it's a cute story. It's a small school, you know, up in Spokane, Washington and, you know, small private school, but, they're good. They hit a bunch of European dogs, and they're always good. But
you mean dog in a good way, though? I want our listeners
yeah, no,
to know
in
that.
A good way, like they just
like a
get,
junkyard
like,
dog. They have some attitude.
Yeah, junkyard dog. Yeah, like they're always good, but I don't know if they ever have the, you know, that final talent to kind of push them over the edge. You know, Kansas, they're another one, always in the mix. You know, but they have won championship in the past 20 years.
I mean, San Diego State, the upstart, the undefeated one. I always think, you know, you know, their conference, all that stuff. You know, what does that really mean? We'll find out. Same with Dayton, you know, the A-10. But you know, these teams like Michigan State, like whenever I'm doing my brackets, and we'll be doing this, and as the season ends out, like I said, this is probably just the first of about 2 months worth of NCAA basketball coverage here, but. Whenever I do my bracket, I always have Michigan State going on a run. You know, Izzo just always has that team primed, always.
Right.
And you know, I don't care what they do if they fall ass backwards into this you know bracket. I'm gonna pick them to get to the Elite Eight because like you know unless they match up with like Duke, you know, in the Sweet 16, you know, something like that. It's a really unfavorable matchup. But I'll be honest with you, if I see Michigan State squaring off against San Diego State in a key game, I'm gonna take Michigan State in that bracket because they're battle tested, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, you have all that, experience on the bench, and that's gonna and the big lights on you. Right. San Diego State's playing, Eastern time zone, they're coming on at, 11:30 at night, not too many people are up watching San Diego State.
Right.
On the, pack, what are they? I don't even know. Mountain West.
Yeah. Mountain West.
Yeah. Mountain West, TV channel. Mm-hmm. I watched one of their games this year, and literally the team they were playing against, I there were so many empty seats in this arena. It was embarrassing. So I'm like, wait until they get to something where it's, intense, it's a little bit more.
Yeah.
When you're really playing, real blue bloods and, a team like Kentucky, who's not in this top 10, a team like Kentucky travels so well mm-hmm. to anywhere, and yeah. An away game, a home game, so better.
You're breaking up a little bit, Sam. Let's fill that in for the offense. So let's see what happens when San Diego State goes in and they play a team that travels well, a team that is battle tested, a team that plays inside their conference, teams that are tougher than San Diego State plays in their conference week in and week out. It's the old college football argument. It's like, let's put the 8-4 SEC team in to the college playoff instead of the Atlantic. So no, it's the American AAC, whatever the AAC conference is. It's a stupid thing. Let's see what else we got. NBA, man, let's shift over to the NBA.
All right.
What is going on with the Toronto Raptors? How do they keep on winning? I don't get it.
Well, they have a team full of no egos and a bunch of guys that played in a bunch of big games last year. They're good. Yeah, and Siakam and Fred VanVleet, they're good. They're really good players.
Yeah, Siakam.
And then they just have a bunch of other guys that are just good, role players and grinders, and you need that over 82 games. I don't think it's going to mean anything once they get to the playoffs and, talent beats talent. But it's a good story. People didn't even have them making the playoffs this year after Kawhi left. Which is a little disrespectful, but, I'm sure they've taken that and used that as motivation as well.
Yeah, especially in the East, but
right.
40-15, what a season. What a season these guys are putting together. Great for them. And think about if they did have Kawhi, this team. I mean,
yeah.
This is a team, dude. It's like not a fluke last year. Bucks, meanwhile, they lost their last game, but that loss takes them just under the projection to hit 70 wins. But if they can go, 24-4 for the rest of the season, which is very doable. I mean, they're 46-8 right now. If they go 24-4 the rest of the season, then they hit 70 wins, which is pretty incredible. And that's in its own right. But their coach, I know their coaching is really good. Can you talk about them and kind of what he's done for the system and what he's been putting in place in Milwaukee?
Budenholzer has always been, well respected as a coach, and now he finally has stud. At his other stops, he had a stud. He never had one. Now, obviously, the MVP, dynamic player, another guy that we've never really seen somebody be able to play like that at that size, and do so many things offensively and defensively. And they have also a bunch, they seem like a team that's really like close-knit team. A lot of guys that kind of know their role. They got both of the Lopez brothers who are both, really good role players, shoot the ball well from the outside. Where they're going to really need to make sure they get step up is, at that point guard position, Eric Bledsoe is going to have to play well this year. Because he kind of disappears sometimes in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, as soon as the playoffs come, defenses get tighter.
Mm-hmm. And more physical.
It gets more physical. And people are locked in, and you're scouting one team. Everyone's attention is on on that team that they're playing. Right. So he kind of disappears in the playoffs. He's really going to have to step up if they plan to contend for a championship.
And he got shifted over west. He got, obviously, the Lakers doing their thing. LeBron proving that he's just better than everybody else in the world.
Yeah.
Just insane. Just insane, that guy. I love it because, you know, all the people that we're talking about. And yeah, I mean, I know the guys are like, the younger guys are coming up. Maybe if I have the first overall pick and I'm starting a franchise, I don't take LeBron. You know, I take one of these younger guys. And that's kind of a new development, honestly. But yeah, I mean, just because he's getting older, but he does whatever he wants, whatever he wants. And the people, like last year when he was injured and his first year with the Lakers, you know, all these freaking bottom feeders come up and start nipping at his heels, you know, like Skip Bayless and like all these other idiots, right? Because they're just trying to throw BS commentary out there to get clicks or whatever it is. But the dude is unbeatable. And I'm sorry, this season, if the Lakers and the Bucks end up scoring off in the playoffs, Giannis isn't going to have a great – I'm sorry, the finals. Giannis isn't going to have a great – not a great finals. He'll have a fine finals, but LeBron's going to outplay him. And LeBron will probably D up on him and make it very hard for Giannis because LeBron's freaking awesome, and he does whatever he wants as long as he's healthy. So there's that.
Man, had a triple-double and beat the Nuggets last night, you know.
Oh, I missed that.
In Denver.
Yeah. You know,
the guy's incredible.
When he wants to turn it on, man, it's like Michael Phelps, by the way, is changing it and switching gears towards swimming for just a little bit, because I know we have a big swimming demographic in our audience.
Swimming audience.
I want to see Michael Phelps come back in 2024. I've said this before, but I knew he's going to take this time off. But when his kid, because his kid was a baby, so his kid's what, four, his son, he might have more kids. Suddenly you're going to be looking and your kid's going to be 8 years old and your kid's going to like see all these things on YouTube and these clips and he's going to say, oh, I'd like to go see that, dad. Can we do that? And then Michael Phelps is a dad, and you can relate to this, Sam, being a father like me. You're thinking, you know what? I wonder if I can compete at that level. Like, I'm not going to do the 10 events. I'm just going to compete in the 200 meter butterfly, my bread and butter. And I bet you, first of all, I know I'll be able to make the Olympics, but I bet you I can medal. And like his kid being eight, I feel like, I mean, it's obviously his decision. I wouldn't put any pressure on him to come back or anything, but I just think that that's going to appeal to him. And it would be such a fun thing to watch for the Olympics. Cause I love me some Olympics, man. I'm geeked up for 2020.
I know you are. Where's it at this in 2020? Where's it at this year?
I freaking know. I don't know. The Olympics, where it is, I don't care, man. The Olympic Committee.
No, I'm just trying to.
No. I don't know where it is. So what? It was in. Was it in Russia last time? Is it? All right. I have to search for it.
Please search for it.
Please search 2020 Olympic venue.
I know you didn't have the IC team travel with you.
No. We couldn't afford. We had to cut the travel budget. Tokyo, 2020 Tokyo Games.
Tokyo. All right. Well, that'll be some late nights.
So where's 2024? They're starting the cities, because it costs so much to put these on. The cities are starting to co-op. And so you're starting to see like things like, you know, Belgium and Holland, or Belgium and the Netherlands are teaming up. And so it's Paris in 2024.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah, but something goofy happened there. I feel like in the bid, like the Paris basically said, well, we're not going to pay all that stupid money for it. Well, here's what we'll give you to do it. And the Olympics are just like, oh, okay. Because people are, you know, the press is out there saying, you know, it's crippling to cities. Like what happened in Rio, sped up that recession. I mean, the recession was already there to begin with, but it made it a lot worse. And now you have all these buildings that are in disrepair.
Right.
I'm in Salt Lake, as you know, Sam. I'm in Salt Lake. I saw a news story last night. Salt Lake's going to be pitching for another Winter Olympics, because they've actually been keeping all their facilities up to date, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
The 28-28. Oh, it's LA in 2028.
Oh.
So maybe Michael
Phelps. It'd be cool to go to an event.
Michael Phelps is a 48-year-old. He's like, yeah, I'm going to show these kids something in my U.S. of A, right? That'd be cool. Maybe I'll pop over to LA and. The traffic's already brutal there anyway. Maybe I'll pop over to LA and see if I can get into like the badminton things or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, maybe they'll have that Elon Musk like underground travel by then.
Oh my God. I think they're honestly,
that's what he's shooting for.
I believe they are targeting 2028 to have that operational, but I think they're already massively behind in that project because they're like right. The last I heard, this is a while ago. The last I heard on it is, if people don't know what we're talking about, it's like the super bullet train that they're trying to do between San Francisco and LA to begin with, and then expand from there. They're trying to do like in the middle of nowhere in California, and they can't get it done. They're like all these different things. I don't even know. I don't know what's.
But I'd have to imagine like earthquakes and stuff would.
Yeah, but you know, Tokyo, like Japan has a ton of earthquakes and they have like true. Crazy infrastructure. So, you know, the engineering today is pretty good with that, you know. Back to the NBA quickly. Let's see. Nuggets I like, Clippers I like. See, Dallas is at six. Oh, Houston is who I wanted to talk about. So they're playing everybody. I think everybody in their starting five now is 6'3" or less. Is that right?
Yeah.
No, it's like 6'7", seriously, is the tallest player. So they're just going fully small, and Russell Westbrook cannot shoot three-pointers. What do you think about them?
He's awful, man.
I know. We've been saying it for years.
He's the most overrated superstar.
Can you even call him a superstar anymore?
He won an MVP, dude. Like,
but yeah, so, it was wild.
Like, I don't think he's a superstar, but like, as far as like branding and like stuff like that, like he's marketed as a superstar.
I would say I don't disagree with what you're saying, but like Derrick Rose won an MVP too, and you know this is during the LeBron thing. You're just like, well, LeBron's better, but you know, especially because I lived in Chicago at the time, everybody was like all about Derrick Rose. I kind of feel like the same thing was the deal with Russell Westbrook. Is people see these stats and roll into these analytics now, and I have this this argument with my brother-in-law from time to time. I haven't really checked in on it because it's just like, you know, to me it's always been obvious. Russell Westbrook just isn't a winner. Like I don't care how many points he puts up, he's not a winner. And so
no, but he is a superstar. I don't think he's ever been the best player on his team, even.
well, after Durant left, I think he was. After Durant,
yeah.
Or would you say Paul George?
Yeah, I think Paul George is a better player than overall. He's a better player than Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook can get to the basket. That's what Russell Westbrook can do, and he does bring it every night. I will give him that.
Yeah,
he thinks he's a lot better than he is.
Yeah,
shoots. You know,
the chucker,
crazy amount of time. Yep. It's just
other teammates are out of the game.
Bad shots, still, yeah. You know, 9 years in, still the same bad shots that he'll just, hey, you man. Know, and he bails defenses out. Like, I'd be like, dude, I will let you shoot from there all day.
Like, I know.
If it's not James Harden going off, I'd rather you know, their best defense is to let Russell Westbrook go off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I remember way back in the day, us living together and watching. I think it was the Thunder versus, gosh, who would that? Maybe the Spurs or something? No. It wouldn't have been the Spurs. It was the finals that they made it to, or maybe it was an Eastern Conference. Whatever the case was, we were watching a series, and Durant and Harden and Westbrook were there, and I'm just like, they got to trade this freaking Westbrook. He's taking the ball out of Durant's hands. What is he doing? And then Harden would come in, and he would sit back, and he'd be the B player, and he'd let because Russell Westbrook would go off, and Harden was a sixth man at that point. And, you know, Harden popping in the lineup, and Durant would be double covered. He'd throw the ball to Harden. Harden would hit every freaking shot. And I'm just like, for crying out loud, get rid of. And then what do they do? The rest is history. But no, Russell Westbrook, I think what you're saying about him being a superstar, again, I don't disagree with that, but I think where we're at now, like today, this month, right this minute, is I think we're at the bottom side, the decline of that public feeling. Is he's not in Oklahoma City anymore by nature of his role on the Rockets. He's not putting up these stupid triple double stats that everybody's so gaga over anymore. And I feel like it's a little bit like Derrick Rose post injury, you know, that first season where he comes back and he's like, he's not quite the same guy. So right. I think we're kind of on the dissension of that, which I'm just like, for me, it's just like, good. I don't have to have a discussion anymore because like, it's been obvious to me for longer than when he was in, you doing the triple double stuff away from Durant. Like, I don't care about his player efficiency rating. I don't care about any of that. Right. Not a winner. And he's just putting up stats for the sake of putting up stats and really at the expense of keeping his teammates involved. And basketball is a team game. You know, the MLB, you can get away with that kind of stuff because it's a bunch of individual versus individual matchups. NBA is a team game. NFL is a team game. Hockey is a team game. Like, soccer is a team game. You got to play in sync with everybody. You can't just isolate one matchup on one matchup. It just doesn't work that way. Even Jordan was a good team player, man. dished the ball to Kerr and Paxson at the end of the finals, two of those finals. Had Scottie Pippen, the best B player in history, by far.
Yeah, man.
Is there another person who even enters that conversation in terms of best B player in history?
Best B player.
You could make the argument, I guess, with the Golden State Warriors because they had Steph and Durant at kind of the height.
Right.
But that wasn't a long, sustained period of time. It was like two seasons where they had, like, you know.
Yeah.
And even then, I would make the argument that that wasn't even an A and a B. That was like two A's, and they played as such.
Well, like, and Michael Jordan left, and then the next year, like, Scottie Pippen got him all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
You know, with, like, Luke Longley and, you know.
I know.
That was a ragtag team.
And that was the team that lost to the Knicks, and then the Knicks lost to the Rockets, if memory serves.
Yeah.
I was rooting for the Bulls at them because I've always felt not bad for Scottie Pippen because he's had a good career. I mean, great career. But he just doesn't get the recognition he deserves. This dude was incredible.
Right.
He was, to me, the closest comparison of what LeBron James is. But you'll never hear that comparison because Scottie Pippen was overshadowed, rightfully so, by Michael Jordan. But the comparison, like, if Michael Jordan never existed and we had Scottie Pippen by himself for an entire career, that's the comparison to me. And LeBron, I would say, is a little better than Scottie Pippen. And a little. I emphasize that. A little better than Scottie Pippen. And I'm not even sure if they had a full body of work, I would even agree with that now. But Scottie Pippen could do everything.
Yeah, and I think Scottie learned a lot from Michael.
Oh, sure.
You know, so, yeah, it's kind of, you know. But that 94 year, man, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, man.
You know, and if Hakeem wasn't, you know.
Oh my gosh. You know, talk about unbelievable. Oh my gosh.
He
was so
good. I think Scottie would have been up for MVP, you know. But Hakeem, those like 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
Was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it to this day. Like Hakeem took, he undressed Shaq consistently. Yeah. Like Shaq had no answer for him. For Hakeem.
Now, Shaq still says that's the toughest person he ever had.
I mean,
he didn't know what to do with him.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. What do you do with him?
That footwork was unbelievable.
His shot, he could shoot the fadeaway.
Yeah,
and, hits his
and
free
defensively, he was, yeah, defensively, man, those 2 years, man, he was.
Laser quick. Dude didn't even eat because he was, you know, he was fasting for religious reasons. The dude was just insane, that guy. What a guy. Well, let's end it there, man. We're going to probably jump right off of this and. If you still have time to record a little from Dad Bod to Greek God episode. But hey, everybody, thanks for putting up. If you did, thanks for putting up with the audio quality on my side. I'll be back with my microphone next week and we'll get the ship righted. Then I'm going to, the week after that, I believe I'm going to be with Sam, but I don't know if we're going to record together or I don't, you know, who knows, but I'm going to
be
in Florida for a couple weeks there. So, hey, everybody, you know, go out, be good to one another.
Be good.
Welcome to the podcast. Functional sportsaholic, Sam and Sean, who they be. Sports in real life, they got real lives. Better tune in every week, don't miss the podcast. Touch your mic, get put on blast. And you know just what we call it. Functional sportsaholic.
Yeah, yo, sport addicts with real lives. Talking about real life, they real nice. Going cray on the Netflix late nights. NFL to NBA, keeping the game tight. Repping the 407, old town. And 9-4 is when they met, now they hold it down. Talking life, talking real social issues. All lighthearted, so don't bring your tissues. And don't talk stupid, cause Sean might lose it. You love sports, this podcast strikes like Cupid. Taking road trips, why not just for kicks? Sean going global, you know why? YOLO. And don't get him started on Gooch Givens. They here to spit knowledge, no time for the dishes. Aging like a fine wine, sipping in the kitchen. Gray in the beard, got wisdom, so listen.
Functional sportsaholic, Sam and Sean, who they be. Sports in real life, they got real lives. Better tune in every week, don't miss the podcast. Cause you might get put on blast. And you know just what we call it. Functional sportsaholic.